Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody does it the way we do.
This town and this team mean so much to me. It truly has been an honor to play in Indianapolis. I do love it here. I love the fans, and I will always enjoy having played for such a great team. I will leave the Colts with nothing but good thoughts and gratitude to Jim, the organization, my teammates, the media, and especially the fans. I haven't thought yet about where I'll play, but I have thought a lot about where I've been. And I've truly been blessed. I've been blessed to play here. I've been blessed to be in the NFL. And as I go with just a few words left to say. A few words I want to address to Colts fans everywhere. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I truly have enjoyed being your quarterback. Thank you.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
Ear,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five silly guys, diversified and educated.
All right, everybody, it's Thursday, March 8th, 2012, and we are ready to go to work. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the round table this evening are my distinguished co-hosts, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, the NFL takes center stage as we discuss Bountygate, Peyton's end in Indy, and is beginning elsewhere, obviously. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk some St. Louis Rams with insider Shane Gray, who covers the team for Bleacher Report. Just like every week, we want to hear from you guys, so hop into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. So before we get into tonight's rundown, we want to give a shout-out to our radio partners. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, and follow them on Twitter at the BS Line. Also, we'd like to give a shout-out to Brandon and Chris of Sports Track Radio. Check them out every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Check out Ezra of Idiot Sports Talk by subscribing to the Idiot Sports Talk Facebook page and the YouTube channel. And last but not least, check out our Chicago fam from Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 10 a.m. Central Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So with all the shouts out the way, it's time for those birthdays.
My birthday! Yay!
All right, what's up, fellas? Y'all ready to get into this tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yay. All right, you know, I was sad at the beginning listening to, you know, Peyton pour his heart out to the city. But oh well.
Leaving him big tips.
I know, right? Our first birthday of the night is one Mr. Hines E. Ward Jr., who turns 36 today.
Yay!
Another NFL veteran who's recently been cut. Kill, what do you think of when you think of Hines Ward?
Well, first of all, like, why didn't he have, like, such a ceremony as Peyton Manning? It's like, nah, I know why. But it seemed like Hines Ward is more famous for the blocks that he puts on defenders than him actually being, you know, a very good 1,000-yard receiver and, you know, Pro Bowler at times. He must be one of the all-time leaders in for the Steelers and catches in yards
and
all of that.
I think he's the all-time leading receiver for the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken. B. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Hines Ward?
I think of catch-up. I think of the fact that I really hate on the ball when I shouldn't, because anytime you're a wide receiver, and you breaking linebackers' jaws and you're known for blocking, you're a thorough cat. But he's like Tiger Woods. He names himself Korean before he does black, so I think I got a problem with him. But, tough receiver.
Jimmy, what do you think of Hines Ward?
First things first, he's synonymous with the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of what happens. I think of a tough receiver. He's a little bit more than a possession receiver, but he was a great blocking receiver in a lot of those Pittsburgh offenses that, chewed the clock up running the rock. So,
right.
He's a great player. I wouldn't put him as one of the all-time great wide receivers, but he has put up better numbers than Lynn Swan and John Stallworth and those other Steelers receivers who are in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know where he stands in terms of the Hall of Fame, but, he's a great player, and, he's synonymous with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he's going to be the subject of a HOF or FOH sometime in the near future. Plus, he smiles and he dances. The next birthday, there's one
cool.
Mr. Jason Elam. Jason Elam turns 42 today.
Yay!
Let's go to Jimmy first, because Jason Elam used to kick for his beloved Broncos.
Absolutely. When I think of Jason Elam, I think about his time in Denver when he kicked the 63-yard field goal. And he's one of the Broncos' all-time leading scorers, and he played for the Broncos for a long time and kicked a lot of field goals playing in Mile High. But he had a long leg, pause that. But basically, he was a great kicker. And
he,
I don't like to talk about kickers that much, but,
he tied the record with that, right?
He tied the record.
You know what, though?
The one with the record was
Was it Dempsey who had the record? The dude
Dempsey,
from the Jets way back in the day? Because the dude had a half foot and a wooden shoe.
Seabass, didn't Seabass just tie it? The kicking player?
He did.
So
he
we
did.
Got a three-way tie going on. And
Seabass,
Seabass is on he on HGH or something. He's too strong for a kicker. But the Dempsey dude, that's just not fair, man. He had a half a foot and his shoe was wooden. So, come on. He had the straight-on, straight-leg, 63-yard joint. Austin, what do you think of Jason Elam?
He's a kicker. I don't care.
That's what's up. Bayon.
Yeah, everything that Jimmy said and you said, and he played for the Broncos, he could probably still play, if you ask
me. Yeah, he's a kicker. They play to, 48 most of the time. All right, so the next birthday, we see him at least every Thursday on the NBA on TNT broadcast. One Mr. Kenny the Jet Smith turns 47 today.
Yay!
Kill, what do you think of? You think of Kenny the Jet?
One thing, he's always in the midst of things like All-Star Weekend and also the show The Game. He's like a executive producer. And one of the funniest things I've saw, you know how they joke on each other, is when they were going through the All-Star Game a couple years ago through the festivities, they had a picture of Kenny Smith like All-Star on Saturday, but never on Sunday. And I was like, holy snap.
You know what, Kenny, besides what I told y'all a few weeks ago, that they should keep him outside of the building when the dunk contest is going on. He should have no parts of that. When I think of Kenny Smith now, I think of this. I watch The Price is Right every day when I'm home, right? And I was remarking to some people on Facebook how The Price is Right models look way better than they did when Bob Barker was around. They got Drew Carey as the host now. So somebody told me that one of the models was Kenny Smith's wife. So as soon as I heard that, I went and Googled her. And as soon as I Googled her, I realized that his wife was the primary reason that I posted that status on Facebook in the first place. So Kenny Smith is very much the overachiever. Because it looks like, with all the things that he's doing, with the league and outside of the league now, it looks like he's making a very nice nest egg for himself. He's not like on Magic Johnson level. But for what he was as a player, not being on Magic's level then either, I think Kenny Smith is doing really well for himself. Just keep him away from the dunk contest and tell him to come out with his wife a whole lot and let her be on TV.
Oh. I was thinking Kenny Smith. I'm definitely thinking of the dunk contest at this point. He
said
TNT, and I think about him spitting bars in the basement with Big
Tigger. When I think of Kenny Smith, I think of, I'm a coon, and I like tunes. I turn everything into a joke. I'm Kenny Smith. I'm a coon, yeah. That's what I think of.
You think Kenny be tuning?
Kenny a coon, man.
All right, our last birthday. Our last birthday today is another former NBA player, one Mr. Charles Linwood Williams, better known as Buck Williams. Akil, what do you think of when
my
you think
birthday.
Of
Yay!
Buck Williams, who turns 52 today?
Yo, I got to be honest, like, in my younger years, like 8th grade and like younger high school years, I just always thought Buck Williams' game was corny. Like, it was just kind of like, like, yo, what does he do? Like, I'm always hearing his name, and dude is just kind of diesel, and he rebounds. Like,
yo,
that's
it's the same here, and that's why I'm glad, actually, that I was the one moderating birthdays tonight, because I didn't want Jimmy to ask me first. Because I don't, like, Buck Williams, he just used to be there.
Like, yeah,
and you know who he is. You know who he is because
Buck
his nickname was
number, man. Yo, but I remember at one point when back when Chuck was a Sixer in the 80s, like, and they used to play those New Jersey teams, like, Buck would give him work. Like, Buck used to put up 18, 12, 17, 11, like, consistently. You know what I mean?
I know,
like,
he was corny, though.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, those are the kind of guys you needed on your team. Like, he wasn't flashy at all, but Buck put in work, though, man. Buck was a great rebounder.
Yo. And if more of the league was like Buck Williams, we all wouldn't like basketball.
No, but really, I actually remember being in the barbershop in D.C. with Buck Williams. This had to be around, like, 98, maybe 97, I don't know, something like that. And even in the barbershop, he was just there. He was just a tall dude in the barbershop.
Man, Buck Williams, if I'm not mistaken, I think he averaged double-digit rebounds for his career, and he probably would have averaged, like 13, 12 the game if it wasn't for the fact that he played for, like, 20 years. Buck played for a long time.
Yeah, you're right.
This barbershop was weak, too. This barbershop was
Buck,
mad weak.
Yo,
I just want to slander the barbershop.
A weak haircut, high shorts, and he didn't
that's
get
why no Austin, that's why I had to remind people that this barbershop was real weak.
Yo, his game was weak, but think about it. If Buck Williams, like, he put up Dennis Rodman-type numbers.
He played the right way.
Jimmy, stop running. You big market Jimmy, and Buck Williams is not a big market player.
I mean, he played for the Nets, for Christ's sake. Even playing for the lowly Nets, he was 18 and 12, though.
Hey, Jimmy,
his numbers, if it don't matter.
Yo, I think what we're saying
is
numbers
like 12 and 10, though. So, you know, he wasn't just nothing. He was just there.
I mean, 12 and 10 because he played a million years. Like, you know, them later years when he played, we wouldn't really get no clock. Like,
you're right.
His last
6 years were all single digits. But, yeah, Buck averaged 15, 17, 15, 18, 15, 18, 18, 13, 13, 11, 11. And then it went down to single digits. But he just always seemed to be there.
I was going to say, like we understand, like, he got points, average 18 and 12, but it's just, like, his game was corny. You don't remember any highlights from him.
So,
like,
you know,
where
he
did your move?
He's like,
he had an Otis Thorpe game.
Yeah, like Otis Thorpe or Kenny, what's the boy, Thomas? What's the boy name that plays for the Spurs and the Knicks that consistently gets jobs?
Kenny Thomas. He's still in the league.
Yeah, Kenny Thomas.
Kurt Thomas.
He has a Kurt Thomas game. Or Chris Paul.
Buck's game is worse than Kurt's even. Buck's,
Kurt,
Buck Williams
was
my
Kurt.
Example.
He was better than Kurt.
He was better than Kurt. But if Buck was my example, I wouldn't have wanted to hoop, man. Hooper wasn't cool. Yo,
Hooper
was
turned you off from the whole game? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, man.
Austin got the hero syndrome. I don't know what that
Come
means.
On.
All right, so that's the birthdays, as usual, brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Go to the website, get in touch with Lisa, and get your hair done. So Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened while y'all were on the grind.
Absolutely. All right, while you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. For more information on Philly Auto Design, you can visit their website at phillyautodesign.com. Or just go to warroomsports.com and click on the Philly Auto Design logo right on the homepage. Now, we have several stories to talk about briefly. The first one is your man Ocho Cinco is in the news. And what's funny about him in the news is he hasn't been in the news for football in a long time. He's in the news this past week because he got peed on by a lion at a charity event. Like, I mean, he literally was peed on by a lion at a charity event. Did you guys see the story? And why is Ocho always in the news for non-football
bleeding? I saw the story. I saw the tweets, too. He was tweeting about it. Because, you know, Ocho, people probably wouldn't believe this about him because of how flamboyant he is, but he really doesn't go out. He's not a partier like that. So he's like, you know, just one night I decided to go to a party. He's with his chick, Evelyn, from Basketball Wise, and he was with Darrell Revis. He said he walks in the event, this charity event, and the lion's sitting in the cage, and the lion just got up and decided to spray the dude. He said he wasn't even that close to the cage. The lion just sprayed him, like, for no reason. So he go out one time.
The lion's seen the way he's been playing recently, and he's tired of that.
Yo.
Maybe the lion knew he was a Bengal, and that's why he sprayed him.
Oh, here you go. Yo, my thing is, why is he always in the news for non-football-related matters? When's he going to get back to just ball?
I know. I don't know. Maybe it's good luck. Maybe it's good luck to get peed on by a lion. I mean, somebody got to look that up. But one last thing, a dude that I saw who wrote an article about this for Yahoo, Chris Chase, he said, and before you ask, no, the Patriots don't play the Detroit Lions next season, thus depriving us the chance of seeing one of the greatest Calvin Johnson celebrations of all time. like Megatron was going to score and then run over to Chad and pee on him on the sideline or something.
Oh, man.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yo,
yeah, man,
Calvin would have been my favorite receiver forever if he did that.
But yeah, y'all know he wasn't doing that.
Calvin got kicked out the league if he didn't.
Yeah, that's not even his makeup. Let's talk about one of the war room's favorite ladies, and that's the one, Gloria James. Gloria James recently copped a plea.
Gloria,
copped a plea deal to have her battery charge dropped for stealing a valet in Miami. Yo.
Is her last name James, or is it West?
I refuse to acknowledge that, man. Look, Delonte said he ain't do it, so
yeah.
I'm gonna leave that one alone. But
yeah, I remember this though, right? I remember she got arrested back in like April.
Yeah,
she said the valet was taking too long, so she punched him in his face.
Sometimes you gotta do that. You gotta do that when you need good customer service. Sometimes you gotta take it there.
Hey, Jimmy, man, that's what happened when you bust into my ass.
Yes.
No, but
anybody,
she got off easy. She
got
off easy. Yeah, she got off easy. Like she was, like she's the actual athlete. She this is her punishment. She agreed to donate $1,000 to a Haitian earthquake relief fund and perform 20 hours of community service. So she pled down to a disorderly intoxication charge. Actually, no, that's going to be dismissed too. So was the dude Haitian? Because why would she be donating to a Haitian relief fund?
Let me find out she stole Wyclef. I don't know.
So what y'all saying is she has more of a killer instinct than her son.
That's a low pro blow, Kel. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player on the planet. That's a low blow.
Except in the last 2 minutes.
It's too early to take shots at LeBron. So anyway, let's move on now.
Yeah, we got a whole segment about that later.
Tiger, he had his best final round ever at the Honda Classic, but he still lost to one Rory McIlroy.
I'm salty.
What are you guys' opinion on Tiger?
Tiger
on his
balling.
Way back,
yeah. He was balling. Yeah.
He's never coming back.
You know, the boy shot a 62 on the last round. He couldn't miss. His swing
best
was looking.
Best
you know,
he ever shot.
Yeah, best he ever shot in that round.
Unless you consider the shots that he was.
It seems like you can see improvement there. And Ernie Els was saying that, it looks like, you know, this looked like the old Tiger. So hopefully he can keep that up. But in the process, Rory actually held on to beat him by 2 strokes. So by Rory winning the Honda Classic, he's now the number one golfer in the world. So how long do you guys think that'll last? I mean, kick one.
Well,
I don't know. Go ahead, Austin.
Nothing, man. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know how long it'll last, but Tiger, like I mentioned it before. Well, first things first, I just want to put out there a disclaimer that I don't think golf is a sport because, as I previously stated, any activity where you can get up and then go get a grub without changing isn't a sport. So for those out there, poker isn't a sport and golf isn't a sport. Now, with that being said, Tiger is actually seeing the product of Tiger. When you look at a lot of the young guys coming up, not just Rory, but a lot of the younger guys playing golf now, these guys are athletic. Tiger was the first of that mold. And these guys are probably only playing golf because of Tiger.
Tiger was the first golfer on HGH.
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the day, it was like guys that smoked and didn't take care of their bodies and were just out there playing golf. But Tiger was an athlete playing golf, and a lot of guys are playing because of him. So what's going to happen as time goes on is he's going to see some real competition, but it's kind of funny because it's based upon him being Tiger Woods.
Yo, Jack Nicklaus used to talk about how much the other cats used to drink in the clubhouse and stuff like that.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. But Tiger came in, like, you know, he worked out with basketball players and football players. He
was saying,
you know,
like, it's not that I necessarily didn't drink. I just didn't drink on golf days.
The ball bench is 320.
That's too much for golf.
Hey, so what y'all are saying, so Jimmy, what you're saying, this is analogous to the Dream Team and U.S. coaches going over to coach foreign players, and then all of a sudden the foreigners, like, whipping our butts in the Olympics and in the World Championships before 2008 because they got better from basically patterning their games after what we taught them.
Pretty much. I mean, in a sense, yes.
Because they always had the skills over there. They just had to add a little toughness to the skills.
Yeah, but, you know, so in my opinion, that's exactly what's going on with that. So I don't know whether he'll ever get back to dominating the way he did, but it was good to see him compete the way
he did. Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, he barely made the cut, really, and then had that crazy last round. Rory, he keeps his poise because he actually had like six holes to go, and he actually started hearing the crowd cheering, like back where Tiger was. So, you know, he gets the news of what's going on, like Tiger's on this run, and he had to hold it together to keep the tournament, and he did that.
He
so
was
he's the number one golfer in the world now.
And that's another reason why golf's not a sport. How can we be competing, but you and the whole, like, just doing your own thing, and I don't even know what
you really
going.
Don't know,
like,
what's going on. Like,
yeah, come on, man. That's not a sport, B. It's a game. All games aren't sports, man. I'm tired of talking about these great. Yo, golf's not a sport, man. If golf is a sport, then battle rapping is a sport as well.
Yo, when we get into the summertime, when it get a little slow, well, even though we got the Olympics coming up, we're going to have a show called Is Golf a Sport? And just let everybody who plays golf call in and scream at us for 2 hours.
No doubt. Last story I want to ask you guys about real quick is, in terms of baseball. There were two extra wild card teams added to Major League Baseball's playoffs. Do you think it's a good thing or bad thing?
I think it's a good thing that they added them. I think it's a bad thing how they're going to play out because the last two wild card teams are going to play in a one-game elimination to move on to the divisional round.
Oh.
So, like, you know, baseball is not that kind of sport where it's like one game. You don't play 162 games to go to the playoffs and go to single elimination. You play series all throughout the season. Everybody you play, it's a series. And then you go to a single elimination in the first round of the playoffs.
Baseball players don't even understand what single elimination is, and I don't even blame them. Like, how are they even going to deal with
that? I think the only single elimination situations there should be is how it's always been, like a tiebreaker. You know what I'm saying? But they should at least have a best of three, a best of something. Like, a single elimination, it's not really cool. I think it's kind of a joke. I like the fact that they added more teams because with a 162-game season and then only, you know, four people can make the playoffs, like, that's just not good.
Imagine playing that long, right? Where, you know, you play a gazillion games and then you lose in a one game. Yo, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, come on, at least give these dudes a three-game series. They need to revamp
with
that.
With 162 games, yo, what if Shaq was a baseball player? How many games would he take off?
He had to find a way to take a dig at Shaq, right?
No, I'm just saying.
Sure, we could be talking about
Monopoly. He found ways to optimize his performance throughout a season based on, you know.
All right, well, let me ask you another question. Let's phrase it this way. If baseball plays such a long season, how many practices would Allen Iverson attend?
None. Absolutely. You don't need practices when you're the greatest.
Yo, I'll be like, batting practice. We talking about batting practice. Not a game.
Anyway,
not a series.
Not a game. And we know your man Magic Johnson would definitely be playing for the Giants and in the stands kissing.
I'm not going to CC 11, man. No magic slander. Come on, man. I don't care. I'm gonna end it on this, man. No matter who your favorite athlete is, they can't compete with Magic because Magic has been in a game against the Germ for 20 years and he's winning. So therefore, Magic is the greatest athlete of all time. He's beating the Germ.
That's what happened. Wow, y'all are along the ground. There ain't no argument for that. Awesome. There ain't no comeback for that. Magic that dude. All right, y'all, it's time to pass the rock real quick. If you're listening for the first time, first of all, you stupid. Second of all, pass the rock is a segment that we all do where we all get to vent on our, you know, anything in sports we want to vent on or just speak on our favorite sports topic of the week, and we pass it around like a basketball team. So being the point guard of this thing, actually, no, I'm not going to bring it up today. I'm just going to go ahead and inbound it because I have nothing to say. So I'm going to inbound the rock to my man, B. Austin, and see what he got to say to
me.
Thank you, good brother. I'm much more used to playing the two guard, but I take the role of bringing the ball up the court since they're running a press on us. And I'm looking for who's open. I'm looking for because I got a pass. I got it.
I'm wide open. I got it. All right. We crossed the half court line, and I got the ball on the right wing. And I just wanted to share a little bit, War Room family, about an NBA player or former NBA player slash NBA analyst who did right with his money. And that is none other than Jamal Mashburn. And you know how we talk about athletes going broke and blowing all their money and how his teammate at University of Kentucky, Antoine Walker, blew $110 million? Well, Jamal Mashburn, ladies and gentlemen, owns 37 Papa John's, 34 Outback Steakhouses, and one car dealership, and has been able to take his $75 million to actually have at one point $200 million as a former NBA player. So athletes, young guys, if you're listening or you know people, hey, franchising and fast food chains, even though the food may not be the healthiest for you, or even in restaurants, you know, that's the way you can flip your money. And with that, I pass the rock to Jimmy.
Yes, sir. You know what I mean?
Ain't nothing wrong with exploiting the public.
Cross your T's, dot your I's, Jamal Mashburn. Yo, it's an inside joke, y'all. My bad. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. One of the Talented Tests. And this week, I'll be very brief. I just want to tell all the Kobe Bryant haters, just to cut it out, it's one thing to dislike him as a person, or even to dislike his game, but you must respect it. Because you dislike him, you should not live in denial and act as if he didn't earn his spot at the table with those such as Russell, Wilt, Jordan, Magic, or Bird. I mean, some of your statements are just insane. And honestly, I just don't believe you even had the temerity to make these crazy-ass statements. And also, just because you are a fan of LeBron does not mean you have to dislike Kobe and vice versa. I mean, the bottom line is they're not even rivals. One day, maybe LeBron can sit at that table, but right now, he can't. And I just got one more thing to say to you guys. I'm going to let my homie say it.
Player, turn your head round. Lay on the ground. You've been round.
Oh, nice. Again, I just throw the ball in the stands because ain't nobody messing with me. Yeah, I'm that dude.
And the crowd goes wild. Yo, we don't have to shoot no more. There's too many blowouts going on here. Yo, if y'all want to get in touch with us, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles and all fair in sports and war blog. We got some new writers, so check out some stuff. You know, it's going to get popping soon. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into that chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one or if you don't want to create one, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click the follow button to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. So as usual, we'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. And to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Press the 1 is like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and we might just get to you, get you on the air, let you speak your piece, and then slander you. All right, fellas. Let's get into these hot topics real quick, just a few of them. Actually, hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. I repeat, that's a free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting everything else you need to do done at the very same time. So this week, the NBA Players of the Week, one is a surprise. It's not your usual. One is Derrick Rose, and the other is Ty Lawson from the Denver Nuggets. All right, Derrick Rose led Chicago to a 4-0 week, and I call it the week of revenge because, dude holds grudges, and he was looking forward to that Sixers game. He was looking forward to that Pacers game because both of those teams kind of embarrassed the Bulls earlier in the season. So they went 4-0. He averaged 28.8, 7.5 assists, and 1.7 steals. Ty Lawson led the Nuggets to a 3-0 week. He averaged 20.7, 11.7 assists, and 7 rebounds. The dude is like 4'9". He averaged 7 rebounds for the week. So, Derrick Rose, this isn't this week. You know, it doesn't count for this award, but he hit a game winner last night. So what do you guys think about the NBA Players of the Week? Deserved?
Definitely. I got to apologize to Ty Lawson because I kind of pooped on him, number one, because he's 4'9", and number two, he's from D.C. And unless your name is Len Bias, I don't give you no love. Yo, he's actually very, very nice with it. He is nice. I'm Ty Lawson. And okay. Derrick Rose, I mean, that's to be expected. He's better than LeBron.
Yo, real quick, I think these were the right choices. But before I say that, I just want to send a shout-out to Willie Garland down in Florida because we were talking about Derrick Rose, and he was telling me how Derrick Rose should be playing the two somewhere. I said, why should he play the two when this dude is tearing the league up? He's the player of the week, putting up these numbers at the one. Like, that just makes no sense to me. But it's well-deserved, and Ty Lawson Ty Lawson puts in work for someone of that stature. And, you know, he can't be – I'm glad to see somebody else win, not named Kobe or LeBron or Durant. You know what I mean? So, shout-out to them.
Yeah. All right. Kiel, you got anything before we move on?
Yeah, D. Rose, you know, the Bulls fan, it was good to see him come through and hit a clutch shot in a clutch situation, so that shows growth. And Ty Lawson, always respected his game, especially him coming out of the WCAC, going to Bishop McNamara, who Carroll used to play all the time, but then he transferred down to Oak Hill. And, Ty Lawson just goes hard, man, and, it is what it is. This is his first NBA Player of the Week of his career, so, you know, shout out to him.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, we got to talk about something that we forgot to talk about last week, and then it kind of popped up again earlier in this week for another round. I know some people are going to get upset with us, but we're going to talk about LeBron and his decision making. I'm not going to say his troubles, his decision making in the last few seconds of a game. It was well noted at the All-Star game, you know, he was man up with Kobe after already passing off to Deron Williams once. You know, he got the ball back off the rebound and the tap. You know, he was man up with Kobe, and he decided to force a pass across court to Dwayne Wade that was stolen, and the West won the All-Star game, you know, not as a result of that play, but, you know, they could have won the game had that play been a little more successful. And then a few days later in Utah, when the second half of the season just gets underway, he has the ball with a few seconds left and takes one dribble, passes it to Udonis Haslem for a 16-footer, you know, from the top, and Udonis, like, misses badly, and the Heat lose to Utah. And this is all after LeBron straight up torched Utah in the fourth quarter for 17 points. All kinds of off-balance shots, just crazy shots. He was killing them the whole time. What do you guys, we've spoken about this plenty of times, and we all agree that it's something mental that goes on. But a lot of people say it's much ado about nothing. Do you guys think that this is a big deal that he chooses in most occasions to pass off and kind of remove himself from the pressure of taking the last shot?
A wise man once said that a man has to know his limitations. And so I think that he understands his limitations, and so he's making intelligent basketball plays because – if it's already in his heart that he feels a palpitation and he thinks that, you know, that weak heart is going to cause for a heart attack in the clutch, then why not pass the ball off? Why not give it to Udonis Haslem to win this game? Why not give it to Norris Cole? Why not give it to Mike Miller? You know what I'm saying?
See, now, like, my problem with it is this, with the people who basically been defending and protecting LeBron all week on that decision in the Utah game. They keep mentioning the fact that he made the right basketball play. And if anybody grows up playing basketball the right way, then you know that nothing they're saying in that regard is actually incorrect. But we do know that they're using that because, you know, it's LeBron and they want to protect him. Because if he takes these shots and he makes these shots, they'll be more than happy to say that he's a last-second killer. He's an assassin, this and that. But since they can't say that, they have to take it back to the Larry Brown school of playing the right way. Now, the funny part is, everybody who said that this week, like, so if that's the right basketball decision and you applaud him for it, were you cursing LeBron out during the fourth quarter when he's hitting all these unorthodox shots and you know, hitting shots over double teams, triple teams? Just amazing shots. Were all of these people cursing LeBron out at that point? Or does a great basketball play only matter in the last seconds because you know he's not going to take that shot and you need something to say to make it a little easier on him? That's what I want.
His sycophants understand his strengths and weaknesses, and so, you know, they defend the weaknesses and applaud the strengths.
Yeah.
Well, for me, right, it's kind of funny because I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I agree that in terms of the excuses being made for LeBron, but I also think that he's really in a no-win situation because before that last little in the Utah game, so to speak, before the last possession, he was coming through in a clutch. He was making those shots. And I saw people already, the people who hate LeBron, doesn't matter, it's just a regular season game, yada, yada, yada. Who cares if he's clutch in a regular season game? Then after the last shot, when it came down to the last shot, because he raised over the farm by missing foul shots, he's not clutch. He should have did this, that, and the third. 2 seconds ago, you said it's a regular season game. It doesn't matter if he's clutch. It's like,
I fully agree with that, Jimmy. I think his protectors are wrong in the stuff that they say. I think they go too far. And I think his detractors go too far in their analysis of him as well.
They're one and the same. They're the same. They're the same coin. They're the same coin on different sides, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly the same with Kobe.
It's the same with those that hate Kobe. They're the Kobe haters and supporters. You know, I usually rest on either end of the spectrum.
Either extreme, there's not either extreme in the middle.
Let's ask PJ Francis, the playing mantis, to weigh in and give his opinion on LeBron and his fourth quarter heroics or lack thereof.
I just honestly, man, I just think it's not in him. I don't know. I look at, like y'all said, everything that you guys said I agree with. It's just like up until the final seconds, he can dominate the fourth quarter. He has a sense of urgency. He's aggressive. He takes shots. He's confident. But coming down the stretch, when you got like less than, let's say, 30 seconds left, or he, you know, it's the last possession for the Heat, it's like he doesn't want to be a part of that. Like, he's just cool with it. Even like in the All-Star game, you know, he wanted the, was it the All-Star game? It was one game when he took the ball out. Like, he was the one that was inbounding the ball, and it was like a second.
That was the All-Star game.
If it's 5 seconds, then you could be like, all right, well, you know, 5 seconds left, he may be able to get the ball back. The guy inbounding the ball can be dangerous. You know, with 5 seconds left, because you can get the ball back to him. But the point is, I just think it's really not in him, man. He doesn't have that killer instinct. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to be friends with everybody. Even coming from high school, he just wanted to be with a group of friends, have fun playing basketball. He wants that camaraderie. He wants to be liked. He wants to just, like, hey, guys, let's have fun and play this game and get money. It's like he doesn't really want to be that guy like Kobe and Jordan are willing to be hated.
PJ, that's such a great point. He doesn't want to be hated, and I think he's afraid of failure. Yo, the pressure of failing is in his mind, whether he takes the shot or he doesn't take the shot. If he doesn't take it, then at least he doesn't feel the pressure of missing it, because he's scared to miss it, and then he hasn't lived up to the expectations of his sycophants, his friends, his family, whatever. But if he keeps passing off, the pressure continues to mount. So he's, in a sense, he's doing this to himself.
Yeah, I mean,
it's funny because he
wasn't scared of it when he sent my man Lenny Cook into a downward spiral. But the other point I want to make, and this is my last point on the Miami Heat, because I will no longer have any kind of rooting for them, because when I look at LeBron James and his basketball game and you know, the sartorial dichotomy that he has, I can't support that. I mean, the guy walks around with a purse. Dwayne Wade wears onesies. So when I can't root for the Heat just based on the way they dress. So I'm done with them dudes. And when I see D. Wade come in trying to look like, you know, he had his son's shirt on and LeBron carrying a purse, I'm done with them dudes, man. That's y'all homie.
You know what? I want to bring up a point that Jimmy brought up last week, and, you know, I've had it in a few discussions this week. All of this, like, clutch performing, killer instinct, all of this kind of stuff, we can blame it all on Michael Jordan, because, you know, he basically has a whole league of copycats right now who want to be everything that he was. They want to be the brand that he was, so they feel like, you know, they have to be. I mean, it's not just the players. It's just the league in general, the media surrounding the league. Everybody feels that you have to have Michael Jordan-type characteristics in order to be great. Like, before Jordan came along, players weren't judged on how many titles they won. You know, you realize that it's a team sport, and winning the championship is not that easy. But when somebody comes along and actually makes it look easy, then that's what you expect from every superstar.
That's exactly
so
my
fear. So the expectations for all of these guys are probably inflated. But all that being said, I'm not letting anybody off the hook, because this is the climate that we live in now. This is how the league is now. If you're the superstar, even though it's against basketball principles, like Jimmy said last week, why do you play a certain way all game? You're moving the ball, you're passing the ball, and then at the end of the game, you isolate 46 times and try to let your best players win the game. I feel all of that, but like I said, it's a different landscape now. Now that we're doing everything the wrong way, there's the pressure there for these superstars to do that.
I think, like PJ said,
LeBron just doesn't have it in him.
Deb on Twitter. He said something like, I don't know if it was you or Kill, one of you guys said it. It was on Twitter, and you were talking about how the coaches grabbed a clipboard and draw these crazy plays for the final shot, And then they run ISO anyway. What are you drawing up? Because all you're going to do is run ISO. But
exactly.
Like I said,
and did you see we got an answer, like Chris from Sports Trap Radio went into his basketball coaching philosophies, and the question was really rhetorical. It was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I know.
It was basically trying to get a laugh, like, we understand basketball, Chris. You didn't really have to explain it to us.
But the thing about
it's
totally Mike's fault. How many game-winning shots have you seen Oscar Robertson or Bill Russell, or I can keep naming three players from previous generations?
Doc wasn't clutch at all.
Doc didn't even have two hands. Doc had one hand, and as PJ always say, Doc played his entire career with a right hand and a left hand.
With a hook.
Yo,
don't be talking about my man Doc like that.
All right, just make a few announcements before we move on, because I think we got our guest in the waiting room, so Jimmy's going to go check on that real quick. So I'll just, since March Madness is coming up, everybody, as usual, I'm saying as usual, like it's not only the second year, but it's about that time, so you can join the War Room Sports March Madness Bracket Manager Contest for a chance to win a prize pack including a $50 Amazon gift card, a T-shirt from the sport and team of your choice from our sponsors over at Football Fanatics, and select War Room Sports merchandise. We do winner-take-all since we're not taking any money from you. We're not awarding first, second, third, fourth place. This is a winner-take-all tournament, so you can just go to this website to join the group. It is wrsports.mayhem.cbssports.com/e. I do not know what the E is for, but that's the website that they gave us. And the password to the group, just like last year, is Tiger Blood. Now, note, if you participated last year, then you're already in the group. All you got to do is sign in and enter your picks once the brackets are set after Sunday evening. So if you didn't get all that, these links will be posted daily until the start of the tournament on Thursday on our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/warroomsports. So we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to talk a little bit of St. Louis Rams here because they got an interesting situation. We know Peyton is the big story in the news, and we will get to that later on in the show. But his situation kind of affects this situation now. So we're going to talk a little bit about the St. Louis Rams. And joining us to do that is Shane Gray, who's a writer for the St. Louis Rams on Bleacher Report. So we're going to bring Shane on and ask him a few questions about the Rams and, you know, see what this number two pick and the Robert Griffin third sweepstakes, and we're going to see what that's all about. So, Shane, you're in the war room. How you doing, man?
Hey, glad to be here. What's up, y'all? Y'all doing good?
We're good. Yeah.
Great,
good, man.
Great. What's up, Shane?
Just plugging along.
Doing good.
You know, in the sports world, new stories every day. So, this, you know, we weren't really expecting the Peyton decision. We knew what it was going to be, but we weren't really expecting it yesterday. You know, we kind of thought we were going to come in today with some fresh news. But it's all good. So we're going to go around the round table here, and we'll let Akil start it off. Akil, you got a question for Shane?
Yes, sir. Shane, good to have you on the show.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to ask, before we get into anything else, I just want to know, what has been the fan reaction since the hiring of Jeff Fisher?
Well, the fan reaction around St. Louis and all of Rams Nation, as far as everywhere that I've been plugged into, all the fan reactions that I've seen and heard about have been overwhelmingly positive, especially coming off of two failed regimes with Scott Linehan and Steve Spagnuolo. And, you know, the last 5 years, the worst five-year stretch in NFL history as far as winning percentage goes at 10-65. You know, we're thrilled to have a proven winner coming in who took his team to 6 playoff appearances over 6 years. So, you know, a major upgrade there with the solid coaching staff in place. So Rams Nation is very excited to have Fisher aboard.
Okay, and with the personnel that the Rams have, do you think Fisher will be a good fit moving forward?
Oh, yeah, I feel great about Fisher coming in. He had a long relationship with the Rams' chief operating officer, Kevin DeMoff. That's the owner, Stan Kroenke's right-hand man. They've had a long history, a long friendship. he's got a lot of control going forward, working with Les Snead, the new general manager from the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm very confident that Fisher's going to be a terrific fit in St. Louis.
Cool. Shane, this is Devin again. This number two pick that the Rams hold, it's kind of turned into basically the most valuable number two pick in league history from anything that I can remember. They've obviously committed to Sam Bradford with their willingness to trade this pick. So do you think it's the right decision that they've committed to Sam Bradford? And if so, why do you think so?
Well, as far as Bradford goes specifically, you know, I'm not going to say necessarily, you know, when we reminisce and look back, we're going to know for sure if it was the right decision to commit to Bradford or not. But at this point, when you look at the lack of weapons that he's had, when you look at the lack of protection that he's had from a leaking offensive line as far as pass protection goes, he was still able to earn the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2010. 2011, he was banged up. He struggled. Admittedly, he has some room to grow as far as his reads on pass plays and also as far as pocket awareness. But he's got the talent, and I think the Rams have made the right decision based upon that, although there's a big part of me that would love to have the talents of Robert Griffin III under the arch in St. Louis.
Yeah, so I pretty much get what you're saying, because you're not really going to be able to really evaluate whether it was the right decision or not until we've seen if Sam Bradford kind of matures and gets better and we find out what Robert Griffin III is really about in the NFL. So I get that.
Although, if I might add, I put out a piece earlier this week that detailed seven reasons that you could legitimize making a case to trade Sam Bradford and to go with RG3, and that's available at Bleacher Report under my profile at Shane Gray. So we're
going to post that on our Facebook and Twitter pages, so we'll get that out there for you.
Yeah, Shane, how you doing, bro? This is Jimmy.
Hey, good talking with you again, Jimmy. Glad
to be
here.
Yeah, we've heard the Rams' potential asking price for the pick from several different outlets, and there have been various combinations of draft picks involved. What have you been hearing as far as what they want and what they will accept for the pick? Now, who, of course, is slated to be RG3?
Yep, the latest that I've heard on that came from Rich Eisen of the NFL Network. He had a discussion yesterday with Les Snead, again, the Rams GM, and he got the impression that the Rams are wanting three first-round picks back in compensation. So, obviously, they're wanting a hefty haul for that number one pick. But again,
wow.
Three first-round picks sitting down. I should have warned everybody to sit down before I said that. But, you know, three first-round picks. Here's the thing, though, that's wise about that. You set the bar high, and then you can always come down. You know, for example,
right.
You set the bar at three first-round picks. You're probably going to get at least two. You might get the three. You set it at two. You're definitely not going to get the three. You might get two, but you might get one. So they set it high, and then they can always come down to two.
Yeah.
But you know what, though, to add something, I think that it's very possible, because at this point, I think that the Rams may end up dealing with the Redskins, because Peyton Manning reportedly has already scratched them off of his list. So, you know, their next move, because they were already one of the front runners in this sweepstakes. And Daniel Snyder,
that's a great point.
He will pay.
Yeah, that's a great point. And look at Peter King of Sports Illustrated. He felt like just throw out the draft value chart altogether in this instance because of two reasons. The demand for RG3, and then the second reason, which is very important, that's often overlooked, is the new rookie wage scale that is really team-friendly. You're talking about getting RG3 for 4 years at about $22 million. Sue from Detroit Lions, his deal was 5 years and upwards of $70 million. So you're talking about, if you trade up to number two, you're not killing your cap if you do strike out and bust on a draft pick in that slot.
That's also another reason why it's easier for these teams to give up that hefty haul that they're asking for, because those picks aren't worth as much money as they were back when Sam Bradford was being drafted.
Daniel Snyder might throw in the Washington Monument to get that pick.
Daniel,
hey, we can put that right beside the arch.
Yeah,
Daniel, even further. That'll work.
Daniel Snyder offered several of the hosts of the War Room $300,000 just to run their 40s.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Austin, you got a question, Austin?
No. I actually do. Is Ronald Bartel going to be the starting corner or one of your starting corners next season?
Well, Ron Bartel, he's coming off that season-ending neck injury, and all reports indicate that he's fully healthy. He's ready to go. There is some discussion that he could potentially be a cap casualty, but that doesn't appear likely at this time, especially considering the lack of overall quality depth in St. Louis at the corner position. So I would expect Bartel back and most likely at a starting spot in St. Louis. One other option there of note would be Cortland Finnegan, the free agent from Tennessee. He's apparently very interested in Tampa Bay right now, possibly as a package deal with Vincent Jackson, the wide receiver free agent from the Chargers. But he does have ties with, of course, Jeff Fisher and their secondary coach now in St. Louis, Chuck Cecil. And he went to the Pro Bowl when he was under Fisher and Cecil and after the 2008 season. So that has to be appealing to Finnegan.
Yeah. I have another question for you, Shane. We all know that this Peyton Manning situation may delay the Rams deal for a minute. But once it's all said and done, assuming they get rid of the pick and they get a lot of picks in return, what are some of the positional needs that will most likely be addressed?
Yeah, let me run down real quick my positional needs in order real quickly.
Okay.
Number one, the top need, we got to get weapons for Sam Bradford, obviously. We've been subpar at the receiving position for a long time. That's the top need. Number two, you got to protect Bradford better. So we got to go offensive line. Three, the defensive tackle position. We gave up gaping holes in the run game the last 2 years. That's got to be shored up the interior of the line. Then outside linebacker, got to upgrade the athleticism there. Got to get a running back for Steven Jackson. Fifthly, a backup there. He's going to be 29 this year, and he's been susceptible to injuries. Missed 4 games in 2011. Then the cornerback position, which we touched on, and finally, we need a second tight end. We really don't have anything back besides last year's second-round rookie, Lance Kendricks, who really failed to impress in 2011. So that would be the order of ranking as far as our positional needs go.
Cool.
Got it. So, Shane, we've heard rumors lately that the Rams could potentially be moving out of St. Louis. Can you kind of touch on these rumors and the perceived uncertainty of the Rams in your town?
In looking at it with all the details I've looked at and some of the people that I've talked to that are, you know, on the inside and so forth, Bernie Miklas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he's one of the top well-regarded sports columnists, both, in St. Louis and nationally. He said flat out recently that the Rams are not going to move. And he had been somewhat pessimistic in the past, but he's been doing some research behind the scenes, and he's very confident in that. But some people took a lot from Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, not making a flat-out commitment that we're not going to move. But when you look at it, they're in the middle of a lease negotiation. And as a businessman, you just can't come out and flat-out say, you know, if all you do is, for example, throw a coat of paint on the Edward Jones Dome, we're going to stay. I mean, you can't just come out and make that absolute commitment. So, you know, part of this is leverage. But I do fully expect in the end that the Rams are going to stay in St. Louis. They've got one of the two top lease situations, team-friendly lease situations in the NFL. And there's a lot of land available to give to Kroenke to develop down the road as far as he's got a major real estate company in St. Louis. And as far as developing a suburban site, perhaps at the end of another 8 to 10 years at the Edward Jones Dome. So I look for renovations at the Edward Jones Dome and a future stadium in the suburbs in and around St. Louis.
Got it.
Jimmy? Hey, Shane, this is Devin again.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you got it? You got one?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was actually sitting there talking. I realized I muted my microphone and I was listening to you, Shane. But I was on mute.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm sitting there talking like, why ain't he saying nothing? Anyway, I was sitting there thinking about it. Even Bountygate indirectly affects the Rams since Greg Williams is not a defensive coordinator. They haven't announced his punishment yet, but does the situation cause any regrets in your mind about him being named the defensive coordinator, or is it much ado about nothing?
And that's a great question, and it does make you rethink it all, because it's looking like from – you know, combining all the reports out there, all the speculation, it's looking like kind of the consensus is he's looking at an 8-game suspension and possibly even a full season suspension. And not only that, as y'all are most likely aware, the NFL, if St. Louis does retain Williams, which they most likely are going to, him and Jeff Fisher are best friends as far as, you know, in the coaching realm, that the Rams are going to be under a close watchful eye of the NFL officials and so forth going forward, kind of, you know, having that cloud over them as far as perception goes. So it does make you take a second look at the whole situation with Greg Williams coming in. Although in 2000, he led his defense in Tennessee with Jeff Fisher there as the head coach, led the entire NFL in total defense. It does make you kind of wonder, because there's going to be a lot of scrutiny brought to St. Louis going forward with Williams as the DC.
Right. So it's basically, you know, the Rams had nothing to do with it, but now the Rams are going to be the team that's under the most scrutiny because of the situation.
Unfortunately.
Man, well, it's definitely been great, Shane, and very informative. I just want you to let the audience know, because, you know, with Jimmy and I, when we spoke to you the other day, we know that you have your hands on a lot of stuff. You write. You're about to do the radio show. So let our audience know basically where they can find your work, how they can get in touch with you, your Twitter handle, all that kind of stuff before we get you out of here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The best way to contact me, to follow me, to keep up with what I've got going on and my coverage of the St. Louis Rams, as well as other related items around the NFL, is at Shane G. Moe, STL Rams, on Twitter. That's S-H-A-N-E-G-M-O-S-T-L Rams. And also, you can follow me, of course, on Bleacher Report. Just type in Shane Gray, or just hit the St. Louis Rams icon, and my articles appear there daily. And so, you know, keep in touch with me. I'd appreciate the follows. And all to you guys here at the show, I'm appreciative of being on and look forward to being back. Y'all are
no doubt
got one of the best shows. Got one of the best shows in the business. So
thank
happy
you
to contribute.
Oh, man, thank you, Shane. We really appreciate that.
And we will definitely
no
have
problem.
You back. And you know, just keep in touch with us. Let us know when your show is going to start, and we'll give you some promotion on here as well. You know, we keep it in the family.
Absolutely, and I'll be doing the same for you guys.
All right, thanks, Shane. We'll talk to you.
Take it
all
easy.
Right, take care.
All right, Shane. Yeah, that was a wealth of information about the St. Louis Rams. Like, I'm interested in what's going to happen.
I didn't realize just how bad that 5-year span was. Like, you said, from a winning percentage standpoint, it was like one of the worst in the history of the game. Like,
yeah.
I didn't realize that it was that bad.
And you still got Eagles fans calling for Spags, like he Vince Lombardi or something.
I know. How about that?
We want Spags.
Like, do you?
Yo, that's
you know, that's how we go. So, go ahead, Jim. You got it.
Yes, sir. You want to tell everybody real quick how they can get in touch with us?
Yes, sir. Real quick, you can check us out. Our website at www.worldroomsports.com to call in and speak to us tonight about any topic. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we will do our best to get to you.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, let's get into some more football talk. Let's get into this Bountygate. Before we do, let me just mention one thing that This next segment is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, Palm phone, iPad, Android tablet. By the way, if you still have a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, go to the nearest roof and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, which is warroomsports.com, and listen. Or download to the mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smartest way to listen to radio. By the way, you can also go to Stitcher.com/TheWarroom. Let's get into some football. Now, everybody knows that one of the biggest stories this past week has been Bountygate. I'll try to keep it brief, but basically the NFL investigated the New Orleans Saints and determined that players were paid $1,500 for knockouts and $1,000 for opponents who had to be carted off the field. We previously mentioned Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator at that time, who is now the DC for the Rams. He basically was very apologetic. He said it's a terrible mistake. He knew he was wrong for doing it. So instead of getting caught up in it, he should have been the one to stop it, but he didn't do so. And that came directly from his mouth. So some people are denying it happened, although he's already apologizing for it. What are your guys' opinions overall on Bountygate? And sort of like I asked Shane, is it much ado about nothing, or is this really serious?
This is interesting because I kind of see both sides of the coin. I don't think it's much to do about nothing. I think any time that you're celebrating an injury or celebrating, you know, a player getting hurt, it's more than Bush League. It's really in bad taste and bad sportsmanship. But bounties in some form or another have been going on in the game of football since they wore leather helmets, possibly even before, because the nature of the game is competition. And football is a meritocracy. So if I knock you out or I give out concussions or I'm considered a headbuster, in college, instead of me getting money, well, some folks do get money from the boosters. Shout out to Big Money Ed. I'm going to get stickers on my helmet. I'm going to get stickers to celebrate. And that's how I'm recognized for doing what I do very, very well.
But, yeah, also at the same time, though, a lot of those stickers are also just for good plays.
I think they just tried to throw
college football under the bus this week because the spotlight was on, you know, bounties in the NFL. But, I mean, I understand
I'm going somewhere with it. I still think that, you know, this kind of takes it to another level in saying that, okay, you know, you're celebrating or you're paying additional monies to celebrate hurting someone or injuring someone. You've caught it off the field. You're injured. So I do think it's in bad taste. But the nature of the game is violent. It's violence. It's supposed to be controlled violence. So now, you know, if I'm in the DB's meeting and we say, okay, we're doing $1,000 for interception, we're doing $500 for forced fumbles, we're doing $250 for fumble recoveries, and we're doing, you know, $10,000 for knocking a receiver out, is that a bounty? Is that wrong? You know, the game speaks to the spirit behind the game. So how do you differentiate? I think you're walking close to a fine line with this whole thing. Now, their issue, I believe, and then I'm done because I know I'm gunning, but I think their issue is it's one thing if it's amongst the players. It's something else if it's sanctioned by the authority figure that's supposed to be running the show. So
that's how much it is. Real quick. PJ, what you got to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I agree with what Brad was saying. I think where you kind of cross the line of where it gets into, like, this fuzzy area where it's kind of almost dangerous is when you get paid extra for somebody getting carted off. Like, I think that, like, the idea that definitely, you know, the first interception you get this, you know, the first sack you get this. But it's kind of like you get – from the accounts of the former players and the players, like, for example, like Mike Golick, who was an Eagle, who –
know at Louisiana Dejas about the bounties and all that throughout the Eagles organization. But it's like once you start getting extra compensation for somebody being hurt to the point where they can't even, like, you know, get up or get off the field, I think that's where it gets a little touchy because all players always say, yeah, I want to hurt them, but I don't want to injure them. So if somebody has to get carted off, their pads hurt. They're injured. Because if you can't walk off the field, you know what I mean, that's an injury. So it's like you're getting paid for injury. So that's why I think it's a little touchy.
My thing goes with the incentive because, first of all, I'm a little appalled at people who make a pretty good living. Like, their incentive for playing harder, hitting harder, has to be more money. Like a lot of these guys were getting paid for fumble recoveries, interceptions, you know, as well as the cart-offs and the you know, putting people out. But what I'm asking is, like, why is that even necessary incentive for someone to get an interception or a fumble recovery if they're already getting paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to do that anyway?
Hey, Dad, you know, just like I do, it's one way to motivate anybody.
Great cash, homie.
Jim, you want to go to the phone line? We got a call.
We got a Chi-Town representative, one of our family, Internet Sports Radio family. We got my main man, Pete Coop from Ranked Top 5 Sports in Chicago is on the line. Pete Coop, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, brother?
What's going on?
All right,
hey, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Hey, what's going on? Hey, man, you guys are really going big time. I got to say it, man. Great guest, man. Awesome. You guys
thank
are hosting
you.
A great show,
thank
man. I got to give it to y'all, man.
Thank you.
You guys
man.
Are too.
Thank
you know, we listen to Ranked Top 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 Central Time. But, you know, we
man,
do that out there in the beginning of the show.
You know, I want you, man. I can possibly swoon me over, man. You know, just talk to me about it, man. And listen, man, the question about the BlackBerry, man. The BlackBerry. You know, JT has a BlackBerry, man. So
you put JT out there.
Come on, JT, come on, man. You gotta step your game up, JT.
Hey, Joe Piku, what do you think about this whole Bounty Gate thing, man?
Hey, man, listen, you guys said it, man. You were right on point with it. And this is the thing, man. They're going after one guy. And specifically, this is something that's wide, you know, done throughout the league. You know, you can remember back in the day when the Raiders were playing the Bears here in Chicago, man. This was back in the day, way back in 86. I'm sorry, 84. And, you know, we were having a pretty good day getting at that quarterback, man. We knocked out Plunkett, then we knocked out another. And so, Ray Guy was warming up, man, getting ready to play, man. And so, eventually, got, you know, he cut through it, and he ended up playing, so he didn't play. But they went after our quarterback that, right then and there. So, I mean, that's just a bounty. There was no monetary value put on it, but it's still the fact of the matter that players are going to go after other guys' quarterback or other guys' key players, and it's something that's normal. Now, it gets kind of strange when you start throwing $1,500. Come on, guys. I mean, you're talking about guys who are making millions and millions of dollars, man. And you know, like James Harrison. Does that make sense economically to get a fine, possible fine for $50,000 or $20,000 just for a $1,500 incentive? Come on, man. It's crazy. So,
yeah, I mean, they're out there hurting people for that Jackson Hewitt money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't make
sense. We used to get stickers in high school and in college. Right, for doing making great plays. And I got to give it to you guys. I mean, why are you getting paid extra money for doing something that you know, essentially in your job description, you know? But I
big cash, homie.
Bonuses, I guess. So I don't know.
Cool. Think about it this way: to a hundred-thousandaire, or in some cases a millionaire, really, what incentivizes them, or what medium of reward do those guys have to really kind of celebrate what they're doing? I guess. You know, it's not even so much about the money, but like my man Randy Moss just said, it's straight cash is the easiest way to say, yo, we recognize what you did. You knocked him out.
Yeah.
Listen, knockouts is 10,000. Go out there, get you 4 knockouts, and you made 40. Now I don't even got to spend my game check for the week.
Man, oh, that's probably what it is. I ain't got to go through the game check.
It brings in a real strange that I don't think the game really needs at this point. I mean, we got big hitters out there who just have a desire to hit. I mean, you don't have to pay Harrison to put a whack on somebody. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. Right. You don't.
I mean,
but you know what? You know what this is going to do, though? This is going to have the league being even – they're going to scrutinize tackles even more now. So we already think the league has turned into a flag football league. Wait till they finish with this bounty gate because they're going to be suspicious of every hard hit now. It's going to get bad.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a team like St. Louis is going to really be scrutinized to the T, you know, because – and this team is a team that really – I mean, if they have anybody in their league, you know, for hitting and knocking people out, I don't know. I don't know who it is. So, I don't know. That's a strange week that's going to be out there, man. I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right, well, Pete Coop, thanks for your call, man.
Yeah, I just
like we said, everybody can listen to
that. Congratulations to Philadelphia, man. You guys did a good job at warming our team up.
JP is in our chat room talking trash right now, man. He said to tell you that your services are no longer needed in the community.
Hey, JP, that's man, funny. That's it, man. Let's get back. I love you, JP, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, he told us to tell you this, Pico.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says, your services are no longer needed in the community.
Ooh, the
what the fuck was that?
Man, we need that, man. Great job, man. You guys are doing good days, man. Success to your show, man. And, you know, keep going, man. Keep doing it.
All right. Thanks, Pico. Right, appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
Pico. Yeah. Like we said, y'all can listen to this. Y'all can listen to JT, P. Coop, and Juana Woolridge every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Ranked Top 5 Sports. That's on Blog Talk Radio, 10 o'clock Central Time. That's our Chicago family.
I'm going to listen to JT and P. Coop, but I think I want to see Juana.
You want to watch Juana on the
I want to watch Juana in high definition.
You want to check her out on the simulcast. But this bounty gate thing is kind of crazy, man. But
yo,
like I was saying,
the
PQ.
Real quick,
okay,
Kev. I was going to say that. One thing about, you know, how this whole bounty gate, the Cowboys, you know, the coach is Buddy Ryan's son. Well, the defensive coordinator is Buddy Ryan's son, Rob Ryan. And you know how they had the Zendejas bounty, things like that. So some of the radio hosts down here in Dallas was like, well, hey, we know obviously the Cowboys were not involved in Bounty Gate because they made no attempt to hit anyone on defense this year.
Damn. Yo, I know off subject, but I hear that the Cowboys are like the front runners to get Mario Williams. If they have Mario. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, if you got Mario on one side and what's his name? Marcus Ware on the other side. Oh, my
God. We need a safety, though. We don't need
him. Y'all might not need a safety with them two.
You get a safety
with
a smile like that. You don't matter who back there. Look, the Giants didn't have no safety.
Yo,
nobody's going to have a chance to get the rock off.
Yeah, if y'all get two dudes, Austin might be able to get his career started again.
Amen.
Let me ask you guys a quick question. For those in the chat room, you can chime in as well. With this whole bounty gate thing, what is your prediction in terms of the punishment? How severe do you think the punishment will be?
Oh, they're going. Goddell is going to go for the gusto. Like he's going
to try
and make an example.
Not what should it be, but what is it going to be? You know what I mean? That's two separate questions.
He's going to try and make an example because he knows how rampant this is. Don't get it twisted. Almost every team in the league does this in one way, shape,
fashion. Hey, fool! You ready for another beating?
Yo, it's gonna be, I'm gonna say a season, man.
Damn.
Yeah, it's gonna be
for Greg. For Sean Payton. For who?
For Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Payton might get 3 games.
I don't think they're gonna smash him for the season. I really don't know. I mean, we heard Shane earlier say that, you know, he heard that they might be looking at up to 8 games. So, you know, that's your half a season right there. I'm thinking anywhere between 4 to 8 games for him. I'm thinking Peyton might just get a stern slap on the hand, maybe a fine,
he might
something
get a
like
big
that.
Because yeah,
his is indirect, even though if you're the head coach and this is going on under your watch, you know what's going on. I mean, you're in the meeting rooms just like everybody else. But just for the given the benefit of the doubt, you know, okay, if maybe he didn't know what was going on, for negligence, you get a stern slap on the hand, maybe a fine. The players involved, I think it's too many players involved for them to just go around suspending everybody in the league. Now, that's going to be the hard part, the punishment for the players.
Yeah.
We already know that Greg Williams
trouble,
is
man.
The, you know, the main. Yeah.
I think with Greg Williams in trouble. The thing about it is like, Breeze is pissed off. Colston and Meacham are trying to leave. And now you got this whole bounty gate thing. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Randy Moss is trying to get in.
Yeah, he's trying to get it. Like, this is my way to get back in. You know what I'm saying? And you know that Dumbledore, a.k.a. Roger Goodell, is definitely going to, like, lay the smack down on these dudes. I don't know about a whole season. No, go ahead, PJ.
I was going to say real quick also is that Greg Williams, apparently this has been, like, his history. So this isn't the first time. So apparently at other franchises that he was with, they said that he was involved with this, like,
exactly. They're not looking at him like he's a first-time offender. They're investigating.
But that means they also got to lay the smackdown on, you know, maybe some people in the Redskins front office also.
And we know for a fact, there's one person we know for a fact was headhunting, and that's LeRon Landry.
And even – he was there when Sean Taylor was there, too.
Taylor was hunting, too.
Yeah.
Sean Taylor was definitely hunting.
So their safeties probably had some.
We've always commented on how Sean Taylor, great, great talent, great player, God bless the dead, rest in peace. Yo, dude was not trying to do anything but kill shots at all times.
Sean Taylor, a.k.a. Spartacus, he was cut from a different cloth. Like, dude.
Yo, he was made from a different – he was a different sort of man.
He was the reason.
That's why I called him a Spartacus, man. He's walking around with a sword. So you knew something was off about him anyway. The first thing that came to mind with me is when they said the Saints, I'm like, yo, the Saints don't even hit nobody, though.
That's why they were giving out money.
Trying to do it. He was like, look, how about if I give y'all extra 10 stats?
But, you know, Sean Taylor was the reason behind one of the most famous quotes in Eagles history from the dude, I got lost in the lights. He was afraid. He saw Sean Taylor coming, so he said he lost the ball in the lights.
Taylor is the most physically gifted safety to ever play. He wasn't too bright. He wasn't.
But have
too
y'all
bright.
Seen that picture of LeRon Landry on the web lately, looking like he's
that's,
on
that's Photoshop.
Be Photoshop.
That has to be
Yo,
fake,
I saw
man.
That.
Exactly.
Gotta be Photoshop.
There's no way
got,
a safety can be that big. There's no
yeah,
way.
Real quick though, we have a prediction from our chat room. JT from Ranked Top 5 says that he predicts 4 games for Williams and 2 games for Peyton, and the $500,000 fine for the Saints. And
any
also
draft
that you know,
pick, because you know
Greg Williams is in the Illuminati.
With Spygate, they took a draft pick. Spygate, that was the biggest man. That was such a fraud of an investigation. How do you do that and then you actually burn the evidence? That sounds like something from a movie. They actually burned the tapes of Spygate. I can see even if that's all the punishment you're going to hand out. Okay, those files, they go inside the NFL files forever. But
they're
going
to pop back up 10 years from now. You know how it is.
God forbid they, you know, the Patriots like, have any evidence out there of any wrongdoing. You know, you can't make the Patriots look bad. So, you know.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick knows where Christopher Wallace and my man Shakur are.
You know where the bodies are buried.
And he ain't telling.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, there's been a lot of NFL players and former NFL players kind of throughout the week trying to, you know, they're kind of trying to discount the whole bounty thing, saying – it's the culture of the NFL. It's always been that way. But something always being a certain way doesn't really make it right.
And yo, if that's the case, I know Dick Butkus probably came up because some of the hits you watch him in film, yo, he's a probably walk out of each game with a nice little check.
Jack Tatum or Tatum.
Oh, God, I forgot about him.
Lambert,
what about Deacon?
Yo, them dudes was probably like, listen, man, damn a contract. Let's just get this bounty system right. Yo, get the bounty
Deacon
system
Jones
right. Y'all don't even got to pay.
Deacon Jones used to give Cats a fair one before he cast
them. They got a salary and commission. They got a salary and commission.
Even at the line of scrimmage, PJ, because remember, he's the one who started that head move. Like, he would punch you in your head off the line.
Yeah.
He'd just jump up and just pump you.
How you
and then run.
How you gonna start your move to the quarterback by smacking the offensive lineman in the head, though? Bop. Come on, man.
Yeah.
The stuff Tatum used to do had nothing to do with athleticism, because if you're allowed to do that, you don't got to be athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they played some violent football back in the day. When you watch those old NFL films, it's nothing like it.
That wasn't the right way to play, man.
This is the question that I have for you guys, because things like this just don't come out of nowhere. So who snitched?
Snitching.
And I don't think it's far fetched to think that that's the case in the NFL, because think about the business model of the NFL.
All I'm gonna say is they should have paid Drew Brees. That's all I'm gonna say.
Listen, they could cut you at any given time, right? So if I'm Greg Williams, I'm not even going to get into something that's illegal, you know, in the bylaws of the league, you know, with cats like this that could be cut at any time. If you get released from
a
team and you don't feel like you should have been released from a team, now you have an axe to grind. So now you can air everybody's dirty laundry from the team that you used to be on because you don't think they should have let go of you.
Yeah,
I really don't think
bounty was a player. I don't think it was a player.
Same thing with the organization. Somebody get fired from the organization, I'm telling everybody everything I know.
It was Jim Irsay. He did it because he knew it was about to come down a pipe with Peyton. So he said, let's get this information real quick. You know what I mean? Maybe it was Drew Brees. They ain't giving the money he wanted.
So, Austin, you really think it was probably somebody from the organization rather than a player?
Yep, I think it was. I think it could have followed along the lines of what you're saying. Disgruntled, somebody just had a mic in their face, pause, and they, you know, they had diarrhea of the mouth and got the snitching. I don't think it was a player, because the same reason that you say it would have been a player. Think about it. The NFL is kind of like a brotherhood of men. So if it gets around that you as a player can't be trusted and you're a snitch, then that puts the black ball over you.
Yeah, but look at how many players have come out during the week saying that, when he was here, we used to do that too. Well, it don't really seem like it means that much. It's not the mafia. Three ex-Redskins have already come out saying, we ran a former, you know, of a bounty system when he was in Washington. A couple of guys tried to come out to his defense, like Ryan Bowen, try to say, no, we didn't have a bounty system. You know, we got applauded for good plays and this and that. And some guys say that's bonk. Yeah.
Darren Sharper said
that. Darren Sharper straight, he straight denied it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, no, we just got handed. They just stood up and applauded us.
They just gave us a handshake.
Listen,
Greg Williams already apologized for it, Darren.
That's what I was about to say, PJ. Like, that's dumb, because the coach has already apologized for doing it. And we didn't do that. Like, where were you? Like,
they said, Darren, he already apologized for it, Darren. He said, he did? Oh, he wasn't apologizing for that, because he didn't do nothing. All right, Darren, we're going to talk to you later. All right, have a good one. They got him right on the phone. All right, Darren, have a good night.
He probably went home and thought about that all night. Like, damn, I'm looking for that.
Yo, they showed everybody. Yeah, that's crazy. But you know what? You know what's funny, y'all? They said they had 50,000 pages of evidence. I don't even understand what that, like, what does 50,000 pages?
Yo, what does
that
look
like? Refrigerator.
First of all,
like
who wrote that report? Who wrote that report? That sounds like something
killed
for
a doctorate
program.
I know.
That sounds like a kill in the doctorate
program.
Kill will
do that tonight.
Like 50,000
pages. Like, I gave y'all 10,000 a night.
That's a lot of pages. Like, so I think, like, that's a good point, PJ, because I think if they're collecting that kind of evidence and they're writing reports, then they might come down on a lot of people, because who wants to do all that work for nothing?
Right.
That's, like,
of all
that's,
right.
That's more than the Mitchell reports, damn near.
That shit, that Mitchell fucking 9/11 report.
This is longer than the Latin report.
That's like the Latin report.
That's a lot of pages.
That joint is more diesel than the Louisiana Purchase. But you know what's crazy is I'm telling y'all right now, Jim Irsay is the one that leaked it because of this whole Peyton Manning fiasco that's going on. And speaking of that, Dev, you want to get into that? Because that was my main segue, because I'm nice.
Let's talk about Peyton leaving, because Jimmy's segue game is nice with it. So we played a part of the press conference when the show started. I'm not going to play the whole minute 16, but we can hear. I just want to get you guys to hear, like, some of the inflection in Peyton's voice when he's talking to
this town and this team mean so much to me.
Uh-oh.
It truly has been an honor to play in Indianapolis.
Matter of fact,
I do love it here. I love the fans, and I always enjoy having played for such a great team. I will leave the Colts with nothing but good thoughts and gratitude to Jim, the organization, my teammates, the media, and especially the fans. I haven't thought yet about where I'll play, but I have thought a lot about where I've been. And I've truly been blessed. I've been blessed to play here. I've been blessed to be in the NFL. And as I go with just a few words left to say. A few words I want to address to Colts fans everywhere. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I truly have enjoyed being your quarterback. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dang,
man.
You got to have a heart of steel not to, like, come on. That you got to look up at the ceiling for that one a little something. Like,
yo, my allergy is acting up on me again. My sinus is kicking in again.
As a fan of the NFL game and a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, I've never even heard anything like that, you know, from my quarterbacks.
Yo, you know what that reminded me of, though? Honestly, that reminded yo.
Yo, stop, man. Go. Come on. No, honestly, guys, for somebody who, like I'm not a Peyton, like, I don't love Peyton Manning, but I really respect him as one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play in my lifetime. Mm. Honestly, this whole situation, cuz, I don't think you can handle it better than the way he's handled it. Like, with all the things that were going on this whole time, Peyton has never came out saying nothing crazy. I don't think he could have a better press conference with the circumstances that are at hand to leave the city that he spent his entire career at. Like, that's the perfect way to do it. Like, that,
PJ, the
honestly,
dude has he has a children's hospital in his name in that city. Like, and he said he's not leaving. He really loves that place.
Yeah, yo, he moved me with that, dog. I don't even know what's the best word to say it, but honestly, I believe, like, to me, that seemed heartfelt. Like, that didn't seem like cat. Didn't seem like media speak. It seemed like that's something he might have written himself, probably, and it came from his heart. And I don't know, man. That joy, it moved me, though. Like, I got a newfound respect for Peyton just from he's always been out of, like, you don't know nothing about his personal life. You don't know. I mean, he's been somewhat of the face of the NFL, but he's always done it the right way. And that's continued with his press conference this week. I don't think there's a better way to do it to me.
Yeah, I feel, and it probably, think about Colts fans. Probably wasn't a dry eye in that city, man.
Hey,
like, that's a big era that's leaving that town now, and hopefully Andrew Luck could step in and try to be to those fans what Peyton was, because actually a lot of the fans were upset. I was listening to, like, they were playing sound bites from some radio stations, and people are calling in, like, cursing Jim Irsay and stuff like that. But like you said, PJ, you know, Peyton never came out and said anything wrong. I actually genuinely think that he understands the circumstances of the situation, he understands that there was no other way. And you still have NFL fans who don't understand that.
There probably
was no other way. Would you say?
I was gonna kind of weigh on that, because it's like when you really, really objectively take a look at the situation, this ended probably the best way that it could have ended for both parties. And that's probably the conversation that Jim Irsay had with Peyton. Jim Irsay is a noodle because he's like an old head that uses the word swag. Like, yo, he's trying to get on Twitter and say a whole bunch of dumb stuff. But the reality is they probably had a decent conversation where he said, Peyton, you're 35, 36 years old. You got something left in the gas tank. Man, you can't win no Super Bowl with what we have here. And I don't see myself being able to get what you need to be who and what you are
in your time frame,
for championship time frame that we have. We don't have the tools or the talent. We're going to come out. You're going to be responsible for 7 or 8 wins like you always are. We're going to get in the playoffs, and we're going to realize we have Pierre Garçon, Austin Collie, defense full of trash cards.
No, but you know what? There's a lot of fans, Austin, that needs to be explained to, because I argue with somebody every day who keeps saying, they're so stupid for letting them go. And
you gotta have
he's going to win somewhere. They say he's going to win somewhere else, and they're going to be salty. They're not going to be salty because that was one of the underlying circumstances of releasing him. The fact that we want to see you. I now, you know, you call Irsay a noodle, but I think what he said was genuine also. I think they are genuinely going to root for Peyton Manning in the next year or so while they're rebuilding to win somewhere else. And like you said, why he let him go, because you can't do that here. So there's going to be some people out there when he wins, if he wins somewhere else, they're going to say, see, told you shouldn't let him go. But that's the difference. He's going to go to a ready-made team.
It was a good move by Irsay, and I'm not knocking him for the move. I'm just the fiasco and the way he's handling it. Kind of even he's been drawn the whole time.
I mean, he's a Twitter head, but you know, it's his team. He could do it.
Here's my thing. Here's my take on the whole thing. I'd be crying too if I missed out on that $28 million. Now the thing about it is, I do slander Peyton a lot, but I do it in jest. I know that Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. That press conference was heartfelt, but I think I agree with Dev. It was from both sides. And I looked at this a little bit different. I mean, I'd be crying, too, if I knew I had a check coming in a couple of days, $28 million, and I was just told I couldn't get that check.
When he was up there, the check was supposed to be tomorrow, the next day, today.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I've been up there like crying like a little kid, like with the sniffles and everything. I'm 25 away from $28 million check. What am I supposed to do? But anyway, I also look at this like from the standpoint of the situation they got put in, where they actually get you go from Peyton Manning to a guy who is even more highly touted than Peyton Manning, and I don't know how luck will fare. Who knows? But if he lives up to the expectations that he has, it's kind of unfair for Indianapolis to get two quarterbacks back to back that way. Considering there are more than half of the NFL has never had a good quarterback.
Right. And then what you're saying for fans, especially Colts fans, first of all, okay, we understand the feelings involved with Peyton Manning leaving and what he's meant to that town, the team, and all of that kind of stuff. But for the ones who's saying, you know, I'm done with the Colts, I'll never watch another Colts game, then you weren't a Colts fan to begin with.
You were like... You were
no
like
player
me. You were a Peyton Manning fan.
No matter how good he is, no player is above the organization if you are really a diehard fan.
Yep.
See, they didn't got spoiled. So, but as Jimmy was kind of alluding to, like, how lucky is this organization to go from Peyton Manning to supposedly the next Peyton Manning, and it fell in their lap. They weren't supposed to be this bad this year.
Especially, his
neck injury may have saved the franchise down the line, but casual fans don't really understand that. Because if he goes out and he can't play with his neck, you see how bad they got right away. So say if he can't come back or he never comes back at full strength, you pay him all this money, so you're stressed as far as the cap goes. it would have been a bad decision to keep him. Even if he was 100%, it would probably been a bad decision to keep him when you have the number one pick in the draft, where the number one pick is the supposedly the most highly touted number one pick since John Elway.
That's like the Spurs going from David Robinson to Tim Duncan. It's like, come on, cuz.
Yeah, like,
that's not fair.
Because they weren't even supposed to be in the lottery that year. But Dave got hurt, and so they got
Tim Duncan. Kept supposed to be a Sixer, man.
Yeah, and look, Jim, how good that organization has been since then. Like, the Spurs have been good since any of us can remember, and the reason that gap was bridged was because David got hurt, they sucked, they got Tim Duncan. It's the same thing here. They're just not going to get to play together.
JC brings up a point in our chat room. He says, it may have been a while ago, but the Colts had Johnny U. So their lineage of quarterbacks is crazy, considering that, you know, you got teams that really have never had a great quarterback.
And from a karma.
You got McNabb and Jaws. Like, come on, man.
From a karma perspective, they really are fortunate that Lady Luck and Lady Karma aren't taking it out on the fact that Ursay's dad was a noodle and he stole out of Baltimore in the middle of the night after lying to the people. So karma should come back and bite them on the butt, but it hasn't.
Well, a lot of Colts fans got to remember, it is very rare that a star, like a lot of stars, play for over 10 years in the franchise and end up retiring with them. I mean, John Elway did, but I mean, you got to look at some people like Joe Montana. I mean, you know,
Johnny U.
Hall of Famers.
Johnny U.
Marcus Allen. Yeah. There's a ton of people, man. Ronnie Lott.
Emmitt Smith down there with the Cardinals.
Not doing nothing, but getting hit by Roy Williams and crying.
He had a nice check when he went down to the Cardinals, too. Emmitt got paid.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Peyton going to get paid, too. He going to get paid. He's not going to, like, that $28 million. You know,
I was thinking about that when
Jimmy
said that 28, I was like, well, he's about to get probably four years, $60 million with 28 guaranteed, so he'll be all right.
No, he's going to get 24 hours from a check like that. Yeah, I just think people are going to put, like, whoever he signs with is probably going to put concessions in the contract just in case, you know, that neck does mess up. They're going to, you know, kind of leave themselves an out in the situation.
I bet you they make his ass take a physical this time.
Yeah, that was definitely crazy.
It kind of reminded me of when Dr. J left the Sixers, yo, because I remember that as a kid. Like, I was crying like a baby when Doc left, and they start playing that Grover Washington music. And, you know, Doc was such the man. You remember when Doc retired, he got, gifts going around the league? Every stadium he went to, they gave him more gifts.
Yeah, he had, like, a tour before he left. Every city they went to, they put the tour in the rocking chair, gave him a gift.
You was crying when Doc left. I was crying when Doc left.
That was, like, a couple years ago.
That was a couple years ago, man.
Grown man.
Hey, man, I thought you were going to say you were crying. You cried when McNabb left. Tears of joy.
Tears of joy.
He laughed when McNabb left.
And pray,
I was with him. He laughed hysterically when McNabb left. And he didn't care who was going to be the quarterback. We could have went back to Bobby Hoying. He'd have been.
Yo, I ain't even going to hold you. I ain't hold you, and I know y'all going to get at me. But I was happy when we had Mike McMahon playing.
Damn. That dude was garbage.
I'll take Mike L.
Yo, he was the only one in the past decade that Reed couldn't make look good. He was that bad.
Yeah.
Yo, Reed couldn't make him look good. He played with a lot of people were injured, too, though. Like, the whole team got injured that year, but he sucked.
Yeah, Andy Reid could put a
That's how bad you hate McNabb that much that you like Mike McMahon and McNabb.
McMahon was the only backup where I was like panning for McNabb to come back. Like, yo, we need the ball.
I'd take Mike McMahon for $400,000 over what I got out of Donovan for them millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
You stupid.
I don't even know what to say to that, man.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, my fault. All I know is that this whole Peyton Manning thing, man, I just can't wait till it's over at this point. But the next question moving forward is where do you think is the best fit for him moving forward?
Yeah, that's where I was.
There's not even 12 teams that contacted him. Everybody's talking the same teams. We've all heard the same teams. But what's your opinion of where you think he fits best?
The Eagles.
The Eagles. Me and Brad had a race.
That's crazy. I mean, we went over there last week.
The Texans or the Chiefs?
Yeah. No, the Texans would definitely be the place that he fits most. But the Texans are just teams that throwing in there. They're just throwing the Texans in there. The Texans have never, you know, they never said anything about having any interest. Schaub is a pretty good quarterback. But if Peyton Manning is 100%, 100% Peyton Manning takes a Schaub-led team who are contenders, because they had a chance to win the Super Bowl with Schaub had he not gotten hurt last year. He takes them from contenders to maybe the favorites, and that would be the same situation in maybe San Francisco. But while everybody's throwing these two teams in
the
fray,
one of the best defensive players, supposedly.
But the thing is, while everybody's throwing these two teams in the fray, these teams haven't expressed any interest. So it's like they're getting a lot of airtime, and they haven't said, because you can't just put Schaub on the bench. I think if Peyton Manning goes to Houston, I think if Houston does that, then they're saying to the world that we're fine with T.J. Yates being the quarterback of the future. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. He played pretty well himself. But that's the decision they're going to have to make. They're going to say, because it's not going to be about Peyton, it's not going to be about Schaub. If they make the decision, it's really about Yates. They're saying to the world, he's going to be the quarterback of the future, so we'll take Peyton for 2 years, try to win the Super Bowl, and then we're going to hand the reins to T.J. Yates. Y'all think they're going to just crap on Schaub like that, though?
No, because I think Schaub is a decent talent, and with all the injuries they had, I put their circumstances on injuries and not Schaub being a bum. He's a good quarterback.
They went to the AFC Championship game without him.
That's for him.
They might be
the Chiefs, on the other hand. The Chiefs, yo, come on. Matt Castle is expendable.
No, see, now the Chiefs, a healthy Peyton Manning takes them to the top of the AFC West. But that's what I'm about to say. The top of the AFC West, once you get in the playoffs, then what's it going to look like? Yeah, you're going to dominate that division maybe once you get into the playoffs. I don't know. A lot of people have him going to Miami. And was Miami a quarterback away?
They're in the same division with the Colts, and they would get to play the Colts twice. I don't know about that. But, I mean, looking around the league, people keep talking about this Miami and this Arizona. I think it's going to be a team that nobody's even talking about just going to pop in and make the deal
with. The Eagles.
Hopefully.
PJ joking, but you know the Eagles always like to sneak in at the 11th hour.
Look at what they did with Namdi. We didn't know they were sniffing around Namdi's crib. We didn't really know that. But my thing is that, I will take Peyton Manning at 100% with six fingers on his hand. A thumb, a pointer finger, and a pinky finger, because at least he still got the claw. I would take that at 100% over Michael Vick right now.
Yeah, I'd take Archie Manning right now over Michael Vick.
I'd
take Peyton Manning with no right arm and all the nerve damage. All the nerve damage over McNabb.
And I know y'all know that
Michael Vick. We're still talking about McNabb, yo. He's gone, yo.
Mike Vick does listen to the War Room. But with that being said, Vic, if you hear this little excerpt, I want you to know that I'll take Cooper Manning over Mike Vick.
Damn. I'm a little fitter with Vic because he fooled me a little bit last year, and I don't think he's the answer. And I think
Jimmy's
a little bit
comment,
of the Eagles Kool-Aid was hype.
Hey, PJ, Jimmy's comment, they got that interview with Mike Vick we was working
on. Yeah, I know.
There I go.
We got to keep it funky, man. That's what we do. In the war room, we keep it
tossed over.
Yo, if anybody has any opinions on this Peyton Manning situation, you can give us a call. The number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1, and we'll try to get to you.
But
I see the damn homie Willie Garland from Florida is listening, and the Buccaneers have no
shot. Hey, but listen, because somebody brought up Arizona, but this is what I heard. I heard Washington is out of the sweepstakes because he doesn't want to play in the same division as his brother. Like, they don't want to block each other. And it's not just the NFC East. People are thinking that he doesn't want to play in the NFC altogether because the only place that, you know, they don't want to block each other. So the only place they want to meet is maybe in the Super Bowl if it gets to that. That's kind of pretentious to, you know, just be thinking that y'all that good and y'all going to be in the Super Bowl. But I get it. I get it, though. It's his brother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because he could easily go in there and hate since everybody started to, you know, switch sides on him after Eli won his second joint. He could easily go into the NFC or the NFC East and try to hate on Eli. But that shows that stuff doesn't bother him. His brotherly love is like, it weighs more than
that. They seem like that. From what I know of them, and I don't know them, but they seem definitely like the family comes first. And they always say that about Peyton being very overprotective of Eli. Just like a big brother, so
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like you said,
so
I think family probably trumps all that.
Contact the Giants.
And that's
contact the Giants and say, I want to go there and see what they say.
Yo, this dude from
Giants.
This dude from Louisville just tried to take the most egregious charge I've ever seen. Dude never touched him; he just flopped back.
Yo, like, I think that first off, just bringing that up, this has nothing to do with Peyton Manning in our conversation, but they need to remove the charge call from basketball.
Yo, remove
because people
all together. All to get yo, I can't take a charge. As a man, it's against my
this right here is how you know it's getting out of hand. Last summer I'm playing on a court outside and the dude tried to take a charge on the playground. And then called ball.
Like, yo, we're not giving you all on a charge.
He might have had cocaine numbness.
Like I was saying, it seems like everything's building up for Miami. You even got LeBron and Wade and they're posting some interviews trying to, you know, lure Peyton down to South Beach so he can take
Peyton is not glad.
He ain't hanging out with
L-A-A-D. Not glad.
Yeah, I ain't wearing no tight shirt like Dwayne Wade had on Sunday.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
turn him.
Yo,
compromise my spleen.
LeBron had a purple blouse on with my wife's Louis Vuitton clutch.
A blouse? Yo, LeBron had a purse. Bottom line.
Dwayne had on the Hulk smash special.
I guess that's how they do in Florida. Shout out to Willie again. I guess that's how y'all do in Florida. Y'all main carry purses.
Yeah. All right. So, but Miami as a destination, how do y'all feel that he would fit in there? Because first of all, okay, they already have Brandon.
Matt Moore.
Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
And it seems like Reggie Wayne is going to wait it out and try to go anywhere that Peyton goes.
Reggie Wayne,
wherever he signs, he's bringing like six dudes with him.
Reggie Wayne has hooked his wagon up. Reggie Wayne said, if you need me to, I changed my last name to Manning. Reggie Manning.
Yo,
it'll work.
That's another reason it could set up for Miami, just because Peyton has a crib there. He has a summer house that he stays there. Yo, I heard Reggie Wayne on the radio, like, lobbying for it. Like, man, I definitely think that would work.
I heard that, too.
Yeah, he's like, you put us together.
Definitely. I'm like, damn.
You put us all together down there. I'm like, oh, we're going to have the Miami Heat part two.
They got a tremendous – they'd have a very solid receiving core. But my question and the thing that gets overlooked, and we can't do that because we're thorough and we know sports, how's Miami's line? How's their O-line in terms of protecting Manning? Because we know he had a certain chemistry in Indianapolis where even though his line wasn't necessarily that thorough, he got the ball out so fast that it didn't matter, and they went to Pro Bowls anyway. In Miami, he's not going to have that type of chemistry initially with that O-line, and we don't – Richie, the last I heard, it was Richie Incognito balling down there, and he's not good.
I don't think the Dolphins – I don't think they have
like a mediocre line or anything. I think they're actually pretty good up front. You know, Reggie Bush had his best season as a running back. They just didn't have anybody back there to throw the ball.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and the defense is pretty solid. So I think he can step in with the little entourage that he's going to bring with him and make that team, you know, probably an instant contender, because in the NFL it really doesn't take much. A lot of teams go from worst to first every year. But the problem with being in Miami is you still got to face the Patriots twice a year. And, you know, no matter how talentless they are, they're always, you know, well coached enough to be near the top of the league as far as record is concerned. So, I don't know. It's like, do you go there and have to contend with those guys? And you still have to contend with the Jets, because I think the Jets are going to get better.
With Sanchez,
it would be. I mean, they were 8-8. Let's not forget that they came off of two AFC championship appearances. So they're better than 8-8, no matter who the quarterback is. They just, you know, I just think they smelled their own, you know, stuff throughout the whole season last season, and it just didn't work out. And there was a lot of turmoil in the locker room. They all kissed and made up, so they should be better than an 8-8 team this year. So I kind of think if he goes to Miami, even if you think he's going to make them contenders, you're kind of putting yourself in a pretty difficult division. And I don't know if you want things to be that difficult.
What do you think about him going to the Jets?
I hear a lot of people. I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning, and Mike Greenberg is a diehard Jets fan, but he keeps, like, crapping on his own team. Like, why would he go there with all the turmoil and this and that? But somebody did remind him of that. Like, I think it was Golic. He was like, all right, don't forget this team was in the AFC Championship 2 years in a row.
I read on Yahoo Sports, they were saying that Peyton actually wants the Jets more than the Jets want Peyton right now. Who knows how
really?
True that is.
Because I heard the Jets were one of the 12 teams that contacted him.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, but
they
could be just trying to feel him out, though, Jeff. Right.
I vaguely remember or recall hearing what Jimmy said, because one of the things that Rex Ryan is doing is he's kind of like Andy, not in that he has the adept skill with quarterbacks, but Sanchez is his guy, so he doesn't want to feel a. like he screwed up by giving the reins of the offense to that kid. And then also you bring Peyton Manning there, he's not going to put up with some of the things that they do on offense. You got to immediately, you know, it's kind of like Kobe and Mike Brown. Like, Rex, you go take care of defense. I'm Peyton. I handle the offense.
But that's what I'm about to say, bro. That could be the plus to going to New York, though, because the coach is a defensive guy. That means you can have pretty much free reign over the offense. They brought Tony Sperano in there to help out the running game, to get that back to what it was.
Man,
Peyton will probably have free reign over the offense.
Peyton is going to Denver.
they contacted him, too. Elway contacted
him. The
they about to shat on Tebow if they can get him. Like,
well,
on,
think about it. I mean, with the whole Tebow mania, the one way that the fans won't even question it is like, everybody Tebow the fuck
is the only person that this is Elway's
like,
way out.
Yeah, it's basically is a way out. You tell them Kyle Orton, they're going to say, you tell them Peyton Manning, that's a whole different ball game. Anyway, man, it's time for us to get out of there. I just want to say one thing real quick. JT in the chat room says, after that picture of LeBron and Wade, D-Wade's Shottown pass is now in question.
So, it should have been revoked.
Anyway, it's time for us to get out of here. Thanks for joining us in the war room this evening. Shout out to everyone who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and over by calling in. Special thanks to Shane Gray of Bleacher Report for joining us and tuning us into the Pulse of the St. Louis Rams. Tune in next week, same time, same place, as we come to you on the first day of March Madness. We'll also be talking with stand-up comedian Erin Jackson about her life as a comic and her favorite sports teams. But for now, enjoy your weekend. Until next week, everybody, you can find us on
don't think shit stink, pink gators, my Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn, dead right, if they head right, Biggie there, and I, Papa been school since days of under rules, never lose, never choose to, bruise, cruise, who, do something to us,
come on.
Talk, go through us,
do it.
Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us, yeah, Papa and Pump, close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch, yeah, I squeeze three at your your cherry M3, bang every MC easily. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace, keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace, with my peace. Packing, asking who want it, you got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty bought a coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dick. Frank White push the stick. Call the Max LX. 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast sweet first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters act. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment, no for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay filthy. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and get me.
Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swiftly. Wreck it by another one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run. I know you sick of this. Name brand, nigga with flows, girl. Stay heat, sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga. It's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bit. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Pop a freaking, not speaking, leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them move, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe, watch me roam like Kobe. Lucky they don't owe me, where the safe, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Get a body broken, you're so mean. Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean.